Why does God allow so much pain? And this was one of the ones that always comes up. You know, how does a good God allow so many things in the earth that are painful? And, you know, if I could summarize that, in my mind, I don't think He wants to do that. I think because of our response to Him, we need discipline. But anyway, Isaiah 24:4, the earth dries up, the crops wither, the skies refuse to rain. The earth suffers for the sins of its people, for they have twisted the instructions of God, violated His laws, and broken His everlasting covenant. In Isaiah 59:2, it says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. You know, and we as a people, we as a nation, must trust God. One of the things I would have liked to put in here, you know, we're in a financial crisis right now, everybody calls it. But I don't think we are. I think we're in a spiritual crisis. I think we're in a crisis as a nation of people. And I'm not saying us. I'm saying we as an American people are not walking with the Lord. We are not honoring the God that created the universe. And so later on I'm going to talk. There'll be a couple other sections here if you'll go to the next one. Why can't we all just get along? I'll answer that question as we go through this. But why can't we all just get along? Hardest thing in the world. You know, and I like what Tom said this morning, you know, or in Sunday school. He mentioned that, you know, we make decisions and then our emotions tend to follow. You know, that is so true. Psalm 119:165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So if we have the law in our heart, what should offend us? Things that break the law. It's being obedient to Christ. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And these are, I got to admit to you, these are a challenge to me. Psalm 39:1, I said to myself, I'm going to quit complaining. I'll keep quiet, especially when the ungodly are around me. That is one of the hardest ones for me, particularly out at work. I don't know, you guys probably don't have a trouble with that. I have a little bit of a problem with a complaining spirit sometimes. And God's working on me with that, but I still have a ways to go. But this has helped me. Memorizing that verse was beneficial to me. I get convicted of that frequently, particularly at work, some of the decisions that are made. Proverbs 17:9, love forgets mistakes. Nagging about them parts the best of friends. So I don't know if you guys do, but I know that's a struggle for me, maybe for most people, you know, is to let something go. Just, it's okay. Okay, so if you'll go to the next one. Why am I here? And this took several turns as I was going through it. Let me just read the verses. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. If you want, just for fun, if you want to look up 12:12, that's a good verse too, but... You know, our duty is to be obedient to God. to follow His commands. So one of the first things, we need to know what His commands are. We need to know what He wants us to do. That's our whole duty. All this other stuff that we do, all the other things all through life, those are busyness to provide things to do things like buy food and keep a roof over our heads. And it's like Greg and I were talking about keeping cars in the driveway, things like that. You know, but God's real purpose is we know what His rules are, what His commands are, and do them. Acts 22:15. Why am I here? For thou shalt be His witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. So, don't hold your hands up, but that's one of the things I'd always ask myself. How you doing with that? Sometimes better, sometimes not as good, but how are you doing with that? Don't hold your hand up. For thou shalt be His witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. That's what we're here for. Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to my people? Who will go? And I said, Lord, I'll go. Send me. And 2 Corinthians 5:15. Then He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them, and rose again. This is a different version up here. Instead, they live to please Christ, who died and was raised for them. So that's why we're here. So if you wonder why we can't get along, this is part of it. We need to, that first one, Ecclesiastes 12:13, we need to know what God's will and what His word is. We need to know what we're here to be doing. And you know what? If we start doing that, then a lot of this other stuff, you know, it really doesn't matter that this breaks or that that's not working or that this isn't fair. Some of that stuff just ceases to matter. Okay. How do I know what God wants me to do? Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all of my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And that was when I came to Christ. It was in 1979. I asked Jesus Christ into my heart. And the guy that led me to the Lord, helped me come to know Christ, did this verse right here. And he asked me some of those same questions. You know, is that what you're going to do with your life? You know, and I decided right then, that is what I want to do. I wanted to try to keep His commandments always. But I'll be honest with you, I don't do real good sometimes. It takes a lot of repentance on my part. Luke 9:23, and He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Or one of the other versions says, will make your paths straight. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Hard to do, isn't it? How do you do that day and night? You have to have exposure in there. So think about, what do you think about during the day while you're... this is what I do to myself. So what do you just think about for the last 30 minutes or 60 minutes or whatever? You know, a lot of times I find it's not been real praiseworthy. A lot of times it's not something I think the Lord would be pleased with. So, meditate on them. Meditate on God's Word day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, that's what I want. Isn't that what everybody wants? Don't you want to be good and successful? This is how you do it. It's not real tough. You know, it's like this shaving cream. It doesn't take a lot. It's just real simple. Just stop thinking about some of that garbage that we think about and think about edifying things. And if you start thinking that way, you'll begin to talk that way. That will come out of your mouth, because what's in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. Matthew 4:19, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, is that tough? Is it hard to fish? It's not hard to go fishing. Is it hard to be a fisher of men? Yeah. How do you do that? That's a tough subject. Because we make more out of it, probably, than what the Lord intended. If you look at Mark 5:19 down there, this is how you do it. You go home to your friends, to your family, to your people that you're around, and you tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee, how He has blessed you, how He's had compassion on you. So can everybody do that? Everybody can do that. Did the Lord bless you today, yesterday, sometime? You can go home and tell your friends about that, can't you? This isn't real tough. You don't have to have a certain kind of degree. You don't have to have any kind of training. You know what you have to do? Just go share what the Lord did in your life. We can all do that. We all have people we love that we pray for. We can do this. Okay, so if you go to the next one. Why can't I stop sinning? Psalm 50:22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. So if we want to do that, think back on that last point, we have to be thinking a little bit differently, don't we, in order for our conversation to be right. 1 Corinthians 10:13, probably half of you already know this one. Maybe all of you do. There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. It's common to all of us. We all struggle with sin. We all struggle with issues and pain and suffering in our life. But it's common. There's nothing unusual. We're not special. It's happening to all of us. Every one of us. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So do you think whatever's going on in your life is too much? It's not. God's there to help us if we will let Him. He means that for our good. Psalm 119:9-11. Wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And you know, I've known that verse for a long time, and every time I found that, when I find myself in the middle of a sin somewhere, it's because I'm not meditating on the Word. I'm thinking wrongly through life. I've said something, I've done something that's offensive, and every time I found it's because I've strayed a little bit off of that verse right there. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And then meditate on it. Ask the Lord, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mine is. Hope yours isn't as weak as mine is. Okay, go ahead, John. And last one, why does God withhold His judgment of the wicked? I'm just going to do one verse here. I had several others, but 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His judgment, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering towards you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, is he withholding his judgment? No. He's just very patient. And isn't that a kind of Savior you want? That's the kind of Savior I want. I want him to be patient with my sins. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but giving every opportunity for everyone to come to repentance. Okay, if you'll turn to the last one. Well, that blue doesn't show up very well. It's Habakkuk 2, 3, and 4. This is the last couple of verses here. But these things I plan for you won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches for the vision to be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair. It will not be overdue a single day. So, God has a plan for each of us. We're not without hope. God has a mission for each and every one of us. He created us for a purpose. We're not just born, live out our life, and then die. We're not just a bunch of robots out here to work for a period of years, and then you retire for a period of years, you travel or whatever you do, and then you die. What a hopeless life. But God had a purpose for us. He meant for us to have real work while we're here, meaningful work. That work is helping His people walk with Christ. He created every one of us, whether we know the Lord or whether we don't know the Lord, we're still created by God. He wants us, every single one of us, to help His people, His creation, to know Him and to walk with Him. And in Psalm 37, 4 and 5, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So, what I started out with, we need to trust the Lord. He is the only one that's worthy of trust. He is the only one that we can depend on. God is worthy. And what's our part of that? We need to delight in Him. We need to know Him. We need to know His Word, His will. We need to understand what His intent is for our life. And then the next obvious question is, will I do it? And so you have to ask yourself, will I do it? Will I delight myself in the Lord? Will I commit my way into the Lord? Will I trust in the Lord? You know, I think He's worthy to be trusted. He'll do His part. So the challenge I have to you is to consider that. You know, where will you go with your life? What will you do with your life? Will you do that? Will you commit to the Lord? Will you know the Lord? And I just challenge you today, this week, to look at your life and see if you're doing those things. And if not, why not? So, let me just close with a prayer, and then we'll go to the next part. Lord, we're grateful for the privilege we have to look at Your Word, to hear Your Word. Pray for Paul and Abby. Pray to help them as her dad is certain in his last days. Pray to help us to honor Your Word and Your will. Ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.